What a fun week to be a wrestling fan, and we're only at Monday. You know, I love interacting with all of you out there. I love having discussions. I love the Q&As. I love the live chat. I just love bouncing ideas off of all of you. And I got a kick out of last week when everybody thought we were going to get a Dexter Lumis versus AJ Styles feud. And we chatted about, you know, I don't know. It seemed like Dexter Lumis kind of had his eyes on The Miz. And then we get this tonight. Thought that was pretty freaking cool. Dexter Lumis taking The Miz, pulling him out of the way. Oh, we'll talk about that segment later. Because, no, that was not a random fan that attacked AJ Styles. We'll talk about that. You know, I think it was Nero Fay from Israel on Thursday's Q&A mailbag talking about Johnny Gargano. And we talked about, you know, wouldn't it be freaking cool to have Johnny Gargano return to WWE TV right now? And then when discussing Thursday about Theory, you know, Theory may be getting a little bit too cocky with Johnny Gargano, feeling that he has gone way further than Johnny Gargano would be, and maybe we could have Johnny Gargano lay out Theory a little bit. Pretty fun to have discussions and see it happen on TV. What a fun night to watch Monday Night Raw. How's it going, everyone? Don Tony here, and this is your WWE post-Raw review. If you check out the synopsis, you can get an idea as far as what we're going to talk about tonight. I will tell you that for the next couple of weeks, we are going to scale the shows back a little bit. You know, not get into 12, 15 topics a show. Maybe get into maybe a half a dozen. You know, I don't want to keep throwing my personal life out there, but I know most of you are aware I am getting married in less than 2 weeks, honeymoon the following week, and it isn't just pick up, go, come back, do a show. Yeah, I rhymed. I'm a poet in case you didn't know it, but there's a lot of other things going on as well, even work and other things. So, you know, we want to make these shows fun, not do too much work, but we got a nice fun show to get into today. Oh, in a little while, I'll show you the screenshot for every, and I will not make you wait long tonight, I promise you. We're going to do a little guess the Raw ratings contest tonight. Someone live in the chat room is going to win the all-new, just came out 2 days ago, the GameStop exclusive Paul Heyman ECW Funko Pop. It is right here. That was the box, as I revealed yesterday, that I got over the weekend. So we're going to give one of these away. And why not give away an autographed Paul Heyman WWE card as well? Let's spice it up a little bit. So someone is going to win the Funko Pop and the autographed card. It is in a plastic. It is protected, so you don't have to worry. I did that, so we'll do that in a little bit. And also the guest the ratings contest. No, not guest rate. That's what we're doing later. The watch parties from Friday. The SmackDown watch party. Someone tonight is going to win. I finally got the championship sign photos. Man, somebody came through for me big time. You know, Liv Morgan, before she finished Money in the Bank, you know, they took a couple of pictures of her. Remember, she cashed in the same night that she won the briefcase. And she ended up winning the Women's SmackDown Championship. And I was trying to get my hands on the photos of her signing, you know, the winning the championship that night. So someone is going to get both of those. And someone else to celebrate the one-year anniversary of CM Punk in AEW. Someone else is going to win that from the Rampage watch party. So start thinking in the back of your mind what you think the Raw rating will be this week. We'll do the contest no more than a half an hour from now, because I'll be honest with you, you know, Raw, very easy show to get into today. Now, let's get into a little bit of news that I think is pretty damn important. Is it an NXT curse? I don't know. But for those that are not aware of it, yeah, last week it was Zoe Stark suffering an injury. Don't post your predictions yet. I didn't start the contest yet. You could think out loud, But, you know, I would not post what you really believe it may be, because someone else may be watching your rating posted in the chat room, and they might have that ready to release later. Because if someone else posts the same rating as you and they post it first, they win. So get it ready. But anyway, back to the news. You know, last week we heard Zoe Stark suffered an injury at the hands of Mandy Rose in her championship match at Heatwave. So as a result, Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark were not in the WWE Women's Tag Team Tournament after all, and they were replaced by Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. And by the way, you know what? I'll give away a T-shirt to anybody live right now in the chat. It could be a WWE shirt, an AEW shirt, another podcaster, people I don't like. I don't care. I want you to tell me what Toxic Attraction from their tournament win was, why tonight's match reminded me of Toxic Attraction's win on SmackDown. I'm curious if anybody picked up on it. Now, post your guesses quick, because I'm going to say it in about 30 seconds. But unfortunately, Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin, is injured. Sloppy matches, you know, that's not a bad choice. Fruit roll-up, no. Not the fruit roll-up. That is too easy. It's a little more specific than that. Gigi Dolin, you remember everybody was in the watch party Friday. We said, where is Gigi Dolin towards the end of the match? It seemed like JC Jane was trying to go for a hot tag a couple of times, and Gigi Dolin was nowhere to be around. And then finally she showed up towards the end of the match, and it seemed like it struggled big time. Well, now they're reporting that Gigi Dolin suffered an injury. And because of that, they are no longer in the Women's Tag Team Championship. Okay, unfortunately, no one got it. The finish of tonight's tournament match was the same exact finish that we got on SmackDown. If you remember on SmackDown, we had the hot tag. Natty put the sharpshooter, wasn't it, on JC Jane? And then, you know, someone else came in and basically defeated Natty. She didn't see the blind tag. They did the exact same finish tonight. This time around, you know, we have Asuka, who does not realize that there was a blind tag, and she's putting the Asuka lock, you know, on Dakota Kai, and here comes Io Sky with the fruit roll-up. Same exact finish. You know, not noticing the tag, putting your finisher, and you get rolled up. So, Toxic Attraction is out of the Women's Tag Team Championship. Now, going into tonight, we only have four teams left. Now we only have three. Because as we all expected, Dakota Kai and Io Sky beat Asuka and Alexa Bliss. So now they are going to the finals. Rob S. says he guessed it right. Let me scroll back. Oh, by the way, the guy missed the spot? No, missed the spot is not the answer, Rob. No disrespect intended. But missing a spot and not noticing a blind tag is two totally different things. But good try. Good try. Somebody by the name of Sam has been asking me about the giveaway we did a couple of weeks ago with the Dudleys. It was a different Sam. Sam. So we have more than one Sam that is at the watch party. And it was the Sam that's one of our channel members there. So he won the card. So just want to let him know. I know he shows up at the end of the shows and I felt bad. But, you know, I don't even know, you know, how to get in touch with him. But, you know, he didn't win. Sorry. All right. So now, you know, we have Dakota Kai and Io Sky in the finals for the women's tag team titles. Now the question is, who will they face? So what WWE has decided to do, I'm not too keen on rewarding losing and losing bad. And this is what happens sometimes when you put a tag team tournament together and you really, you know, I know you want to give some of your employees an opportunity, even if storyline-wise, they probably don't deserve it. But with all due respect, Doudrop and Nikki Ash has been losing everything, including their mother. They have done nothing with Xia Li. I am a Shotzi Blackheart fan, so I have a little bit of a soft spot for her. Sonya Deville's been losing everywhere. Natalya has been given 10,000 opportunities. Don't even start with Dana Brooke and Tamina. So this is what happens when you put them all in the tournament, and now you got an injury storyline, or maybe it's a real injury, and I think it may in fact be real. And now you got to do a second chance four-way. So whoever that second chance four-way, whoever wins that, is going to take on Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah. Personally, I think Aaliyah and Raquel Rodriguez are going to go to the finals. And they will obviously lose to Io Sky and Dakota Kai. And by the way, you know, I know some people out there, not saying anybody that tunes into this show, but I saw some people out there that were making fun of Aaliyah tonight because she was crying during a match. You know, understand something. You know, some people who make it to the WWE, there is a boatload of pressure to deliver. And even though you might feel that somebody's spot may be totally secure, but in some of the wrestlers' eyes, they are very worried about their futures. You know, it's not guaranteed, especially when you're low on the food chain. We don't have to start naming names, but, you know, for Aaliyah to get put in this position now, wrestle in front of her hometown, getting an opportunity on Raw, and not only that, taking on Bayley, making her televised in-ring return because she has been working house shows a little bit. You know, that's emotional. So I saw nothing wrong with that with Aaliyah tonight. I thought that was pretty cool. But we have this tag team tournament kind of disarray. And, you know, when you look at overall at the brackets, I mean, it's almost like Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus everyone else. I mean, you kind of feel like they have to win this tournament. Now the question is, do we get Naomi and Sasha Banks returning sooner than later to claim back what they never lost, but you gave it away? Hey, everyone, check it out. Look, I'm going to give away this Fiend thing. I'm going to give it away. Limited to 100. We give away. Then I give it away and I find out, oh my God, I had the only one that had a defect in it. It's worth $1,000. I can't show up and say, hey, I'm claiming back what was mine. You know, Naomi and Sasha Banks gave their titles up. That's it. You don't come back to claim what you gave up. You gave it up. That's it. You know, storyline wise, you start from the bottom and you work your way up. And by the way, we talked about this last week a little bit. I got to mention it again tonight, you know, because I started building a little montage of photos together. You know, I'm sorry for everyone who has heard me say this before, but why are Naomi and Sasha Banks showing up everywhere together? Think about that for a minute. I mean, their bond is that they were a tag team in WWE. But, you know, I could see if they show up at just wrestling conventions. Like, oh, look, it's Demolition. Oh, look, it's this legendary tag team. Oh, look, it's Sasha Banks and Naomi. But they're showing up together at She-Hulk. They're showing up together at C2E2. They're showing up together for movie premieres. You know, they're not sisters from other misters. They're not lovers. They're not, you know, neighbors. You know, they're two wrestlers who are good friends. But why are these places still booking Naomi and Sasha together? Find that a little bit interesting. Nothing against Naomi. But if I'm doing a movie premiere, if I'm doing a Hollywood thing, if I'm doing a big convention, you know, why would I keep punching them together? There's more going on than meets the eye. It's got to be. There's more that goes on than meets the eye. Because, look, they're two professionals. You know, Naomi is married. She's got a family. Sasha Banks, you know, has got a relationship as well. You both quit together. You know, I brought it up with the Radicals back in the day. They left WCW and all signed with WWE together. At the end of the night, they went home to their respective families. You know, I mean, it's a different era, obviously, but I'm a little curious, you know, why Sasha and Naomi are still being bunched together as much as they are. So, yeah, there's got to be more than this. I think we all agree on that. And by the way, if you have not checked out this weekend shows, you know, really, especially Saturdays, it's a must view, must listen. We got into really deep a real deep dive into the CM Punk stuff, the blurred lines, you know, what is going down in AEW. And I'm telling you, there is a lot of garbage being floated around. You even look at that one-year anniversary message that CM Punk put online. You start looking at some of this closer, and you start saying to yourself, there ain't no way there's this turmoil that is being perceived. It's just blurred storylines. And the funny thing is that, you know, I keep getting asked this question, and it doesn't annoy me, but people are like, do I think podcasters and journalists and certain news sites are on AEW's payroll? No, not at all. I don't think Tony Khan is paying anyone out there to look the other way or maybe not report the obvious. Or don't ask me this question about MJF. Please don't ask me that question. No, I don't think he's paying anybody for that. I think for some of these people, they want to rub elbows. I know every time I do that, I look like a chicken, but they want to rub elbows. They want the opportunity to land an interview with Tony Khan. They go to an event that they get backstage passes. They get an opportunity there. It's called rubbing people the right way, being on the good side. So, no, I don't think anybody's being paid. I think everybody's just trying to be on the good side of history. So, but Wednesday, we will see what goes down with CM Punk and Jon Moxley. It's going to be really interesting. We'll do a little preview at the end of tonight's show. But right now, and I know a lot of you want to be part of this giveaway for the Paul Heyman stuff, so let's get right into it. We already talked about the situation with the women's tag title situation. If Gigi Dolin is in fact injured, we obviously wish her a speedy recovery. Hopefully Zoe Stark, there wasn't any real serious injury there. You almost feel like if Zoe Stark in storyline was able to return, maybe you give the opportunity back to Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark, you know, and let them be in that match. But they're doing the second chance instead. So 16,683 tonight in Toronto. And we had Trish Stratus open up the show. You know, I get a kick out of everybody online tonight that are like, oh, my God, she's beautiful and ever. They didn't pay attention when she was at C2E2. They didn't pay attention when she's made media appearances the last couple of months. We know what Trish Stratus looks like. She's gorgeous. She's one of the most beautiful women in wrestling, period. Nice to see Trish Stratus back. Remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, a little bit of sausage, that WWE and Triple H is going to keep bringing nostalgia, making wrestlers from yesteryear appear, making guest appearances. It wasn't just Booker T, but you're going to see other Hall of Famers as well. Tonight, we got Trish Stratus. Next week, we get Kurt Angle, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So that is going to continue. That sausage is now cooked. Cooked a lot of sausage the last couple of weeks. So Trish Stratus opens up the show. She's happy to be there. She is interrupted by Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, basically tormenting her a little bit. You know, Trish Stratus is retired, but she's basically saying to Bayley, look, you know, I could quickly go from I am retired to I was retired. So I know there's a lot of people out there that want to see Bayley versus Trish Stratus. Could that be a WrestleMania match? Remember, was it last year or the year before that people wanted to see Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Trish and Lita? Wasn't that the fantasy match that everybody wanted to see? Maybe we'll still get that. Who knows? But Bianca Belair, because she is the chosen one, obviously. And look, she backs it up. Everybody loves Bianca Belair. You look at a year ago from SummerSlam to now, and you see how huge she has grown from there. She comes out to the defense of Trish Stratus. And, you know, basically this leads to, oh, there's three of us and only two of you. So ultimately we get Alexa Bliss, Asuka come out, and the tag match opens up. And as we said earlier, we had Dakota Kai and Io Sky defeating Alexa Bliss and Asuka. Fun match, you know, a little quirky at times. And towards the end of the match, you know, we have Asuka and Io Sky Dakota Kai going at it. Dakota tags in Io Sky. Asuka doesn't see it. Asuka putting the Oscar lock on the wrong person, not the legal person in the ring. So what happens? Basically, Sky comes in, Fruit rolls up Oscar, and she loses. So now Dakota Kai and Io Sky go to the finals, and Alexa Bliss, Oscar a little bit dejected. Is this the end of the tag team of Alexa Bliss and Oscar? Are we going to start getting the annoying rumors again that Alexa Bliss is a little bit frustrated as far as her position in WWE? Remember, it was only about 3 or 4 weeks ago that Alexa Bliss came out there, cut a promo that she wants to challenge the heavyweight champion, the Raw Women's Champion. But the tag match as an opener, crowd loved it. They didn't like the outcome, but, you know, very, very hot crowd today. Oh, my God, that crowd tonight for Edge and for Johnny Gargano. I will tell you, Johnny Gargano returning to WWE TV tonight is going to be really, really hard to top, for me, my favorite moment of the week, because that's a segment we now do every week. We did one Saturday. Unfortunately, Hit Row, you know what we talked about. But Gargano tonight, that crowd reaction was spectacular. Loved it. Didn't realize, didn't hit me right away that that was the same arena where Johnny Gargano won the NXT Tag Team Championships. So very, very cool. No interaction with Ciampa. No interaction with Ciampa. I expect to see some behind-the-scenes WWE footage, a little sign of respect with Ciampa and Gargano. I expect to see that on their social media. I think we will definitely see that. So we get a backstage segment with Dolph Ziggler. We find out tonight that he's taking on Finn Balor. So Dolph Ziggler cutting his promo, interrupted by Finn Balor. Finn Balor with a little wise-ass remarks to Dolph. Dolph nails Finn Balor, lays him on his ass, so I think you know who's winning this match. And then while Finn Balor is sitting on his ass, Dolph Ziggler looks at him. He's like, you either just sit on your ass or you're going to hit the ring. So they ultimately have their match. Basically, great match between the two. I would love to see a rematch, to be honest with you. But towards the end, Rhea Ripley cheap shot, 19-16 by Finn Balor, followed by the coup de grace. Finn Balor beats Dolph Ziggler tonight on Raw. How many of you out there were wondering if you were going to get an appearance by Dominic Mysterio tonight? I was hoping that we would. I don't know how I feel about that storyline, but something's coming to an head very, very soon. Maybe they hold off till after Clash at the Castle. Who knows? So Aaliyah, backstage promo. She's interrupted by Bayley, Sky, and Kai. Trish shows up again, talking a little bit of trash at Bayley. Aaliyah challenges Bayley to a match. Little uneventful at first. You know, she's like, hey, when are you returning to the ring? How's about you wrestle me tonight? Bayley's like, okay. And she walks off. You know, and you're looking at the segment, you're like, okay, that's a little uneventful, but you got to pay attention at the Easter eggs, everyone. You got to pay attention at the Easter eggs. Okay, this was the segment first, and then the match is signed, Aaliyah versus Bayley tonight, and right before we go to commercial, Adam Pearce walks by with two security guards. Now, if you look at the Easter egg closely, you see that he has a pitcher in his hand. You zoom into it, and Adam Pearce is walking around with a photo of Dexter Lumis. Now, I think this is funny because we talked about this on Saturday joking around. You know, one of our pet peeves is whenever you see somebody looking at the monitor in the back, they're always like this, looking at it. Another pet peeve is whenever a wrestler gets a ticket and sits ringside, they have to show you the ticket during the entire night that they're ringside. If you notice that, they did it with the women on SmackDown. But a little pet peeve tonight also. How come whenever security, they do something like this, like be on the lookout of this person. Why do they always take a screenshot from the week before? How's about just going on DeviantArt and getting a perfectly centered, maybe side profile, front profile of Dexter Lumis, maybe a full body shot. No, they always got to do a screenshot from the week before. Adam Pearce like, hey, anybody see it? Maybe Adam Pearce was looking for the security guard on the left. Maybe it had nothing to do with Dexter Lumis. No, it did. All right, let's talk about it. Let's get that out of the way. All right. I know we're going a little bit out of play, out of sequence here, but let's talk quickly about the tag match we had tonight. We had Miz and Ciampa versus AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley. Fun match. It ended up in a disqualification. Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles win. Now, here's the story. Now, I have to show you this in clips so we don't have any copyright issues, but there's a lot of people online floating around that a random fan may have attacked AJ Styles. It was not a random fan. And I'm going to show it to you in a couple of clips, and you'll see exactly what went down. Maybe some people already know that, and they just want to write the random fan thing just to get attention on themselves. But, okay, there is AJ Styles. He's outside the ring, and he's selling a little bit of a beatdown. Now, watch closely, okay? Somebody grabs him. Now, we think it's Dexter Lumis. Now, if you look at Dexter Lumis the week before, what are the chances that this person just happened to buy the exact same style of a hoodie that Dexter Lumis had? What are the chances? But anyway, the random fan grabs AJ Styles. Now, at this point, we don't realize it's a random fan, but I think the telltale sign is, look at the lower left-hand corner of this screen right now. What does it say? Tune in live to Raw. Why would WWE on their social media account show a replay of a random fan attacking AJ Styles? That's the dead giveaway right off the bat that it's not a random fan. WWE would not replay it to show it to the world. Trust me, they did not replay when Seth Rollins got tackled in the rampway not too long ago. All right, so this guy is getting it. Here comes the security guards. Now, they got to make sure you see the person's face. Now, I didn't, you know, when I looked at it, and I'm like, wait a minute. Did Ricardo Rodriguez, did Ricardo Rodriguez, like, go on, like, one day a meal? Was it one meal a day diet? Then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, hey, if this was 20 years ago, that looks like Kid Chaos before he dyed his hair blonde. You know, you look at him, it's like, hey, it's some random Latino. It is not Jake Atlas. You know, Jake Atlas is not returning to wrestling anytime soon, especially courtesy to TMZ. We will not talk about that tonight. Maybe we'll talk about it on Wednesday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to TMZ and just type in the search box, Jake Atlas, and you will watch some video that I don't think Jake Atlas is very happy that came out. No, it is not TJP either. This was a regular indie wrestler. This was a plant. Now, I don't want to screw anything up. Let me see if I could zoom in for a second. Let me see if I can. Okay, let's zoom in. Now, look on the right. Anybody see something a little out of the ordinary? Almost like Maven when he teamed up with Evolution. Anybody see something a little odd? Why is one person wearing Riot gear complete with a Riot helmet? When was the last time you saw anybody in the WWE security, storyline or not, wearing Riot gear, complete with helmet? Now, originally, yes, Benjamin, bingo. I had this online. I posted this on Twitter, and I deleted it in 5 minutes later because a whiny bitch douchebag started doing what I fucking hate about social media, all right? This is what I hate about social media. Now, let me just show you the rest of this. All right, so they pull him away. So we don't need to see anything else. Now, when the camera goes off of AJ Styles, the person with the Riot helmet goes back to ringside. Then he ducks. There's fan footage online. That was Dexter Lumis with the security guys. Storyline-wise, Dexter Lumis had a diversion, a plant. Get the security to go away, taking care of the fan that attempted to attack AJ Styles, and Dexter Lumis comes out, and he grabs The Miz and pulls him away. I had this posted on Twitter, but within 5 minutes, you know how social media is. I don't tolerate the shit anymore. Within 5 minutes, some douchebag is like, oh, there's no way that Dexter Lumis went all the way to that back and went all the way back to... Fuck you. Fuck you. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to delete it. Not because you're right, but you're just a whiny bitch douchebag. That's always... Someone's always got to throw something out there to try to, like, shoot something down. Fuck you. I'll just show it for everybody here live. But that was Dexter Lumis under a riot gear, you know, getting security away because of the plant, and then Dexter Lumis took out The Miz. Loved it. Loved it. It was a random indie wrestling guy, everybody. That's not a former NXT guy. Maybe it was, you know, when it was NXT doing indie shit, you know, in the little Florida buildings. That was no regular NXT star. So if anybody out there is going to be like, you know, I think that's so-and-so. No, it's nobody well-known. I'm telling you, it was just they used the person for the segment as a diversionary. So Dexter Lumis, when the security is away tending to this random fan, Dexter Lumis could choke out The Miz. That's what they did. That was what they did. VJ, we'll see Gable Steveson when WWE feels it's the right time to bring him back on TV. But, yeah, so that was the segment tonight. And ultimately it led to a disqualification. After the match is over, we had a little bit of extracurricular activities. I'm wondering if we're going to get Bobby Lashley versus AJ Styles, Ciampa, and The Miz in a four-way for his United States Championship. It kind of feels that it may be leading to that. I'm not saying that that match will happen at Clash at the Castle, but none of them have a match scheduled, so maybe it could happen. I don't mind jokes as long as they're good jokes. Tell me, Twix, how that looks like Duke Hudson. What did Duke Hudson do? What did he do? He got plastic surgery to look like some Latino guy? Come on. Anyway, why do I even acknowledge it? Unbelievable. So, Dexter Lumis, yeah, he pulls The Miz away. I tell you, The Miz sold it great. You looked at the close-ups. The Miz is like, what the fuck is going on? No, no, no. He just pulls him. He keeps. And the funny thing is like, you know, they just, no security guys showed up. No one else. Nobody just, they just let Dexter Lumis do what he needed to do. So, no, it's not. Why do I even say it? It's not anybody of recognized value in the wrestling world, everyone. It's not anybody that you're familiar with. All right, somebody in Toronto may turn around and say, oh, no, that's Jose Ramirez. I guarantee you somebody in the local area knows who that is, but it's not, that person is not part of the NXT storyline. Make that clear. Harris B says it's Gino Medina. That's okay. Yeah, I could buy that. I could buy that. Harris B usually is spot on with his stuff. I'll take it. Gino Medina. That is Gino Medina. All right, Alpha Academy, come out. Shush, thank you. Shush, please. Putting down Toronto. Toronto is filled with toothless ex-hockey players hooked on. There was an awkward pause. Tim Hortons. Good move, Chad Gable. They want to recruit new students. Unfortunately, there's nobody in the local area that they could choose. They have an open challenge tonight. Somebody to take on Chad Gable. If you notice, Otis is starting to grow his beard again. Just maybe nothing. Just make him mention. So, yeah, Tim Hortons. I've always heard about Tim Hortons. I've never eaten it, though. So, yeah, you know what? Rob Cole may be right, too. Maybe it was Matthew A. Rotz. Maybe that guy was Matthew A. Rotz. I should have put that in the synopsis. Maybe I'll do that later on. And we'll see what schmuck in the wrestling news world that says, exclusive, the fan, quote-unquote, that attacked AJ Styles was local Toronto wrestler Matthew A. Rotz. Do a Google search for that name, and you'll see how many websites that have written his name, and it's 100% fake. Matthew A. Rotz. That is Matarazz. That is the full name of Matarazz, by the way. So whenever you see me write Matthew, middle initial A, last name R-A-Z, Matthew A. Rotz, if you ever see that name anywhere, that is Matarazz. It's not as cool as Victor Odin back in the day. If I was an indie wrestler, I always wanted a wrestler named Victor Odin. Just call me Vic for short. Vic Odin, V-I-C-O-D-I-N. Spell that and you'll know why. I don't think anybody ever played that name. So, all right. Alpha Academy issues a challenge. Kevin Owens comes out. Sausage, everybody. Kevin Owens turning babyface. Not clear-cut babyface. Kevin Owens going old school. And by the way, if you want to pick up his old school shirt, it is on sale in WWE Shop. That is the shirt that Kevin Owens came out to tonight. Kevin Owens coming out to a crazy-ass pop. Kevin Owens beating Chad Gable with the pop-up powerbomb. By the way, we'll do the Guess the Ratings contest in 5 minutes. 5 minute countdown. So get your ratings ready. Got to be in a live chat to be part of it. So Kevin Owens comes out crazy as pop. Does not win with the stunner. Going old school, wins with the pop-up powerbomb. Crowd is loving it. After the match, Otis attacks Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens ultimately gets the upper hand. Then he hits the stunners. I don't want you to think he's not doing the stunners anymore. He is. But crowd is chanting, Sammy, Sammy, Sammy. We did not get Sami Zayn tonight, but I got a little video treat for all of you out there. I can't play the audio for copyright reasons, but Friday on SmackDown, we had a hero's welcome for Sami Zayn in Montreal. After the SmackDown went off the air, we were treated to Riddle in the ring, and there is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and they hug it out. This was after SmackDown went off the air. Yeah! Hug it out. Kevin Owens' slow burn towards being 100% fan favorite. This is going to spell the return of Elias. And Elias is going to be a heel, and Elias is going to bash the fans for celebrating Kevin Owens, the man that retired Ezekiel, that forced Ezekiel into retirement, that Ezekiel is so hurt, they don't know when he's going to be returning to wrestling. Elias will ultimately make a return and confront the fans for showing support for such an evil man like Kevin Owens and what he did to his brother Ezekiel. Remember that. That is going to happen. So Kevin Owens takes out Chad Gable tonight. Friday, SmackDown should be really interesting because if we're going to get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos at Clash at the Castle, something has to develop Friday. It has to develop Friday. Little surprise, we didn't get any storyline advancement as far as Kevin Owens addressing what Roman Reigns' message was to Sami Zayn for Kevin Owens on SmackDown. We didn't see any advancement for that tonight, so it should happen on SmackDown Friday. Yes, Benjamin, a little late to the game, but KO turning face even though he put Ezekiel in the hospital. That's pretty much it. Yeah, that is the short story of it. Bingo. Bayley beating Aaliyah with the rose plant. You know, I've watched some of the footage of Aaliyah during the house shows. Bayley during the house shows. She looks fine. She looks great. She hasn't missed a beat. She is really loving her return, getting into it with the fans. Much more animated, I think, even with before. And this sets up the match at Clash at the Castle. All these house shows that they're doing are basically practicing for the Clash at the Castle match. So now we get a surprise. Music hits. Nobody's has any idea who it is. You hear the first couple of seconds of the song. You know who it is. But until they flash the Gargano name on the Titantron, that's what it was then that the crowd erupted. Johnny Gargano makes his return to WWE television. Crowd is chanting, Johnny Wrestling, welcome back. He is very happy to be there. I can't believe it's already been 9 months. 9 months has flown by way too fast, but it's been 9 months since he's been in the ring. And at some points, he even doubted what his future was going to be. But he was playing with six-month-old baby wrestling. And the fans are chanting, baby wrestling. And Johnny Gargano says, one day, you know, my kid will appreciate that. When his kid is old enough to realize it. So he's saying that once he realized that, he ran down his NXT career. But then he ran down his aspirations on the main roster. Intercontinental champion, United States champion, WWE champion. He wants the gold. And what kind of a father would he be if he didn't go for it? You know, and listen, I know sometimes when we do the shows, we get a little bit on the public service announcement discussions, but it was yesterday when we were talking about how I will never find fault in someone who openly admits that they're trying to get a job in a wrestling company. We had that conversation last night, and we heard today that the Road Dogg is back in WWE. The Road Dogg is replacing Jeff Jarrett, vice president of live events. I don't know why Jeff Jarrett is no longer in that position. Maybe it was a little bit too much. Maybe it just didn't click. But the Road Dogg has made it clear as day. He wants back in wrestling. And now with Triple H there and Road Dogg being back, that's a wonderful thing. So I applaud that Road Dogg has been openly, you know, admitting he wants to return to wrestling. He loves it. He loves doing this. He's back. Johnny Gargano, you know, the only difference is Johnny Gargano is still wrestling inside the ring. And Johnny basically, you know, he doesn't want to look back years from now and think about the opportunities that he did not take. So he is back, and he wants to go as far as he can, win gold, and he's interrupted by Theory. And it was a cool moment. It was a cool moment. But you know the character with Theory. There was no way Theory and Gargano were going to align. And Theory, as we talked about even a couple of days ago, Theory a little bit too cocky, a little bit too much into himself. Look at where I am and look at where you are. Even made a comment to Johnny Gargano like, hey, it's almost like I'm the veteran and you're the newbie. And he's like baiting Johnny Gargano to hit him. So Johnny Gargano's like, yeah, no problem. Kicks him right in the face. Not really a slap either. No thigh, well, a little thigh slapping. But knocks him on his ass. So it looks like we may actually see Johnny Gargano versus Theory as his first feud. And I'm for it. I'm 100% for it. Johnny Gargano's return. I'm telling you, man, I'm a huge fan of the guy. You know, I don't understand all the negativity. You know, all the I don't get it. I don't get it. And I was never always a big fan of his. The day I turned the corner, who was he in the match with? Was it Dexter Lumis? Oh, no, it was Ridge Holland. The match with Ridge Holland, when he got dumped almost on his head, and he still fought through it and continued the match, and you know that his bell was rung, and he just kept going at it. And that night, it really, you know, it just, like, I was a fan, but after that night, I was a big fan. And it just built and built and built. And then the way ended up happening, everything else. Now, a lot of you are asking Candice LeRae. You know, the kid is still, you know, kid's not even 1 year old. So Candice LeRae is at home with their child. So can Candice LeRae make a return? Sure. But I think right now it's more about family. So, you know, I don't think there's any chance Candice LeRae ends up, you know, working for a different company and, you know, Johnny Gargano stays with WWE. I think if the time is right and the opportunity is there, you will see Candice LeRae in WWE. Right now, it's about being a mom more than anything else. I don't think this has any effect on Indy Hartwell, unfortunately. You know, I think that ship has sailed as far as Indy Hartwell and that connection with Johnny Gargano. And I feel bad because you think of the way, you know, and you feel like, you know, you got Dexter Lumis on Raw, and we know the storyline with her and Dexter Lumis, and you got Johnny Gargano now on Raw, and you got Theory on Raw. So, you know, you kind of feel a little bad for Indy Hartwell, but something's got to happen soon. Indy Hartwell just feels like she's there, you know? And remember, you know, it's not a guarantee that every single person that's employed right now will remain employed. You know, we had that discussion yesterday. But a really, really cool segment with Johnny Gargano and ultimately with Theory. I enjoyed it very much. So, and then we had the main event tonight. We had Edge beating Damian Priest. Referee bump. Wondering if we're going to get possibly Dominic Mysterio. Wondering how much of an interference Judgment Day would make. The chair came into play with the referee bump. Damian Priest at one point hitting Edge with the Unprettier, which was cool. This was a great match. Crowd, first match in 10 years. Edge in his hometown. That is big. That is a big deal. Was it as powerful as CM Punk returning a year ago to AEW, you know, to Chicago for AEW? No, I don't think it was as powerful because Toronto fans have been watching Edge from afar because Edge has been on TV the last bunch of years. When CM Punk returned, it wasn't that CM Punk was just wrestling other places and then returned to Chicago. You know, when he came back, that was really his first, you know, go at it since his, you know, absence for so many years. But still, Edge tonight, it's amazing to see how elite of a level that Edge could still go. And give credit for Damian Priest, because you know Damian Priest was eating that shit up tonight. I mean, they really work well together. Kind of sucks that it feels like this might be close to the end of this feud. I mean, of course it's going to continue on. The Mysterios are still going to get involved. But ultimately, you know, this feud is coming to an end. Then you got to ask yourself what happens with Edge. We don't want this emotional roller coaster that we're getting into WrestleMania and we don't have any feud or storyline for Edge. So Edge turns once again and we're right back in this cycle. I don't think people want that. I think you leave Edge the way he is. Now, Finn Balor tonight got new entrance music. And this is why people, I think, sometimes need to, you know, wait and see before complaining. There were so many people tonight that thought that the Judgment Day's music changed. This was Finn Balor's singles music. Because the Finn Balor music that he had before as a babyface really does not fit the Finn Balor now. The entrance music tonight, I'm a little unsure. Like, it's only the first time I heard it. So I really, you know, have to listen to it a little bit further. I didn't think it was bad, but I definitely did not want that for the whole Judgment Day. And thank goodness when Damian Priest came out and they had the Judgment Day, they had that music instead. So, you know, you want to change Finn's music for when he has singles matches, fine. But the Judgment Day, they left alone. So, yeah, and even Damian Priest with his music, you know, it's a variation. And, you know, it's fine. But Edge, Damian Priest, they got a lot of time tonight. And this coming Saturday, we're going to take a deep dive into something that Brandon Thurston posted. I give him full credit for it. It's pretty interesting. And it looks at how many minutes of in-ring wrestling we have had under the Triple H regime compared to the last 3-4 months of Vince McMahon's era. And you look at some of it, and it's going to be a little bit surprising of what you see. If you think there's this gigantic shift, it's not. There really isn't. And if you look closely, you know, we talked about it earlier. We got same exact finishes happening in a women's tournament, 2 matches in a row. We're having rematches. The 24/7 title, we could get into that for a second. Over the weekend, the 24/7 title returned. And no, he is not holding the belt up, the referee, just to show it to the live audience. That referee, Sean Bennett, actually won the 24/7 title over the weekend in London, Ontario, Canada. We had a 3-way match between Dana Brooke, Nikki A.S.H., and Tamina Snuka. And Tamina Snuka had originally won the belt, And then the referee went into business for himself. Referee won the 24/7 championship. And then a few seconds later, Tamina Snuka won it back. Then it went to Dana Brooke. It ultimately went back to Dana Brooke. So it started with her. It ended with her. So, yeah, you're still seeing some antics with the 24/7 title. So I figured I'd mention it. You know, like I said, I think more of the effect of Triple H and WWE is behind the scenes than really what we're seeing on camera. And you realize now that, you know, Triple H has been part of the machine. And I'm not saying that to criticize the man, but let's be honest. He has been part of the machine for decades. He has not been this outsider, just waiting, anticipating, just waiting for the day that Vince steps down and then he's going to, you know, take it over. And look, give Stephanie McMahon credit as well. Stephanie McMahon is in a higher position than Triple H. Stephanie McMahon is one of the ones, along with Nick Khan, that are hiring these wrestlers. Triple H is the head of creative, and yes, he's involved with talent relations, but at the end of the day, you know, Stephanie and Nick Khan are hiring these wrestlers also. So when people always saying point to Triple H, no, Nick Khan and Stephanie, it's a team. It's everybody working in sync with each other. So, all right. At the beginning of the show, we had a back and forth brawl with Riddle and Seth Rollins. They were brawling in the back, brawling on the rampway, brawling into the crowd. I'm a little surprised we're not getting like a Hell in a Cell or a cage match or something with these two guys. Maybe they announce something next week on Raw. But I almost feel like this has got to be there's got to be a good stipulation in this match. This needs to be a gimmick match. Whatever they do with Seth Rollins and Riddle, I don't want it to just be a regular street fight. I think we may see something announced on Monday between those two. But I'm really, really happy that they've moved away with this Randy stuff with Riddle. Very, very happy of that. Because after a while, it just got really, really annoying. Like, you almost wanted to see Randy just RKO the fuck out of Riddle. So this Riddle being focused, angry, intense, you know, going after Rollins, yeah, I'm fine with that. So, excellent match. All right, so let's get this ratings predictions contest underway. So once again, for everybody who is live right now in the live chat, you have the opportunity to win both this brand new Funko Pop Paul Heyman ECW figure. It is brand new in the box, not opened. It's right there. And you also get this very cool autograph card, this Topps card of Paul Heyman. I don't know if you can see that. So somebody's going to win both. All right, so now do not post your rating yet because I have to put the official go in the chat room. But all you're going to do is in the chat room post what you believe the Raw rating will be for tonight. So, you know, you could, for example, you write 1,968,000 viewers. You know, or you put 1.9 million if you want to be that general about it. You want to be a little bit more specific, then you write 1,968,017. You know, I'll leave that up to you. But you only have about 60 seconds to post your prediction. And when I put over, contest is over. And then I will go back and see who was closest first to the Raw rating, and they will win this. On Wednesday, we will announce the winner of last week's contest for the Dynamite rating. I'm still flabbergasted that the Dynamite rating went down last week. It's going to be really fascinating to see what the rating is going to be this week. So if you are ready, get ready in the chat room. Go. So tonight's episode of the Don Tony Show and your Raw post-show review is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. It's back-to-school time, everyone. If you're in the gym and you get hurt and you got to go to the hospital and they got to pull your pants down for some reason, or you may get lucky and your pants get pulled down, you want to make sure that you don't have a Don King down there. You don't want to make sure that there's tomatoes growing in that forest. So you got to go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DONTONY. Not only will you get 20% off your order, you will also get free shipping. They have the brand new package where you get the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. Now, if anyone out there that let it go a little bit, that might have, you know, look, I've let my hair grow. Look, I got to get a haircut before I get married. Look at this. It's too early for me to get a haircut. Look how long this shit's gotten. Some people, unfortunately, it's even longer down there. You can't just get, you know, an electric razor and just start doing that away. You'll bleed like a pig. So you got to get the lawnmower 4.0. You trim it nicely. You get it trimmed nice and neat. Then you jump in the shower. You get the exfoliator. You clean yourself nice. Get rid of all that dead skin. Wake up your pores. You get the crop gel. I don't even have to look at notes because I've done this before. Can't show you. Examples, you get the crop gel, you rub it on, it's a little menthol, it's nice, it's cool. It's almost like you just want to leave it all day. It's like, it feels nice. And then you get your razor, and then you clean it up as good as you want. You get the 4.0 package, manscaped.com. Not only does it come with all of that, in fact, here is a screenshot of what you get. Check this out. That's not it. That's a few things. Here you go. The Ultra Smooth Package 4.0. And not only that, you get the ear and the nose trimmer that they call the weed whacker. Trust me, you don't want to go up and have your first kiss with someone and they look at your nose and they see freaking hair sticking out of it. That is the most disgusting thing. Next to having like food in your teeth, you go on a first date with someone, you look over and they smile and you look and they got corn in the middle of their teeth. So, Manscaped.com, Performance Package 4.0. Enter the promo code DONTONY, 20% off, free shipping. You get the weed whacker, you get the crop shaver, exfoliator, the gel, you get the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. Can't beat it. Go check it out. All right, so everybody's got their ratings in. Let's put contest over, and we will see. Contest is over. It is over. So, let's talk ratings for a minute. SmackDown, 2,084,000. Rampage, 461,000. My throat is about to curse me out. I don't know what it is. I strained my throat the other day talking. Impact Wrestling has a problem. Their ratings dropped 30% this past week. Not only that, we talked about it yesterday. Tennille Dashwood, the former Emma, excuse me. Now I'm good. The former Emma in WWE, she's done with Impact Wrestling. Good Brothers, they're pretty much done with Impact Wrestling unless they negotiate a new deal. You got three very important pieces of Impact Wrestling's puzzle that could be gone. Now, we're not going to get into again what will happen with all three of them if they will go back to WWE and if they would even work in WWE again. But that is not good. And to see your ratings drop 30%, in 1 week, you know, that is awful. That is awful. It's funny when they go up 0.1% in a demo, like they make it a big deal. They write in the news lines, oh, the demo's 50%. What's the excuse now? It's down 75% in a matter of a month. All right. So right now, the NXT tomorrow, oh, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see if she actually, Wendy Chu, draws on Tiffany Stratton's face with the makeup. I got a tickle. This sucks. We may have to end the show a few minutes earlier because I don't want to keep coughing in people's faces. Jesus. In fact, all right, maybe that took care of it. NXT Tuesday night, we got Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs taking on two members of Gallus for the NXT UK tag titles. Now, we were going to talk about NXT UK tonight. I'm going to wait till Wednesday. We're going to talk about all the releases. We're going to talk about not only what WWE plans to do with NXT Europe, but some of those names that were released. You know, I was going to talk about all 22 names today, and I got a DM from someone that I trust and said that WWE may be hiring some of them back, but not until 2023. So some of those, it's not a weed cough, Cappy. I don't smoke weed, thank God. But, and I cannot get sick right before my wedding. Hell no. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if WWE brings some of them back. I think they will. Based on, I'll get into that on Wednesday. But so for Tuesday, we got Tiffany Stratton and Wendy Chu in a lights out match. Grayson Waller is going to host his new talk show called The Grayson Waller Effect. And he's going to have Apollo Crews on it, which will set up a match between the two. Wednesday, you know, I know a lot of you are really looking forward to this. We got CM Punk and Jon Moxley, you know, for the AEW Undisputed World Championship. Interesting that they that they don't use the term, excuse me, unified. When they did Cody Rhodes that time when he couldn't compete, and then they had Sammy Guevara hold the TNT title for a short period of time, they use unified. So they're going to go at it. We got to see if MJF shows up, if somebody causes interference. Wow. I think we're going to have to end this a little early, everybody. My apologies. Billy Gunn versus Colton Gunn. Ricky Starks is going to talk. You know what's funny? When they were setting up Ricky Starks' promo for Wednesday, he like cut a promo about cutting a promo. But I'm a fan of Ricky Starks, so I can't complain. Dax Harwood versus Jay Lethal. I still don't understand why they're doing that six-man tag at All Out. Then we got the next match in the Trios tournament. Will Ospreay and Aussie Open versus the Death Triangle. And then Britt Baker versus Kylan King. So, guys, gals, I apologize for ending this a little abruptly. But I find it beyond rude to have someone constantly cough in your face. And the funny thing is now I'm putting a couple of sentences together and I'm not coughing anymore. So I just, yeah, we're going to call it a night. So join me Wednesday. Right after AEW Dynamite, I'll be right here for Wednesday Night Dynamite. We'll talk about NXT. We'll talk about NXT UK. We'll make sense of everything going on. Wow. 26 years of doing this. I think this is the worst I ever had it. So, join me Wednesday night, right after AEW Dynamite. I don't feel as bad as I sound. I got a little tickle. I just don't want to go away. So, I'll be up here. We'll see what goes on with Moxley. Do you think there's any chance Moxley and Punk still have their match at All Out? Could it just get thrown out and then we end up having it All Out? Will MJF make his appearance? I think, you know, something major has to go down. All Out is next Saturday. You know, it's less than 2 weeks away. No, next Sunday. It's less than 2 weeks away. So whatever happens this week, next Wednesday is the last Dynamite before the pay-per-view. Now I'm starting to feel better. See that? About to go off the air. Like, no! So, do you think Tony Khan has it in him to do a major swerve like that? I'm really curious, you know, because remember, we talked yesterday and we summarized Tony Khan's handling of MJF. In less than 60 seconds, we explained it, I think, better than anybody ever has. You got to think to yourself, is Tony Khan, does he have the balls to be straight up promoter, even if it's perceived in fans' eyes or in wrestlers' eyes that he deceived some people? It's more about, you know, the entertainment value and telling a story. And I think sometimes Tony Khan might strap himself or restrict himself a little bit too much because of some of the things or how much he's available out there for media. I think sometimes, you know, like when you don't say a thing, you don't have to worry about being put on the spot creatively about something. And something major, I think, is going down Wednesday. Every match has run-ins and clusterfucks. There's always. So you know people are getting involved. You know it. The question is, who is going to get involved on behalf of CM Punk? I think that's the question we all have to, and if you hear, I'm fine. Furball seems to have gone away. So I'll tell you, it does feel like a mistake to put this on free TV, where you know that would sell. on a pay-per-view match, of course. You know, I'll leave you with one last thing before we go off the air. And I think this is probably the most important aspect that nobody's talking about. And I'm not just saying that. If you look around, this is the most important aspect nobody's talking about. Guys, gals in the chat, where is All Out this year? Where is the All Out pay-per-view? Think about the location, and you say to yourself, how is CM Punk not in the main event? If Moxley wins, that's right, it's in Chicago. If Moxley wins tomorrow, Wednesday, technically it is Tuesday right now. If Moxley wins, how is CM Punk not in the main event in Chicago? If Punk wins Wednesday, then what does he do in Chicago? So it's really, when you really think about it, it's really strange that they put this match on free TV tomorrow, so close to All Out. Because you know CM Punk has to main event. And here's another thing for you all to think about. We're talking about the possibility of CM Punk going full-blown heel. Maybe even the fantasy of him aligning himself with MJF. It would be kind of hard to turn CM Punk full-blown heel when you have All Out in Chicago. Unless, are you going to have Chicago versus the world? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to turn somebody heel, you want to ride the momentum of the crowds really jeering on that person. And in less than 2 weeks, CM Punk is going to get cheered beyond belief in Chicago, no matter what the outcome is tomorrow. So it's a little interesting that they went with this match, not just because they put the title match on free TV, but if you think all the other factors that involved, man, this really makes All Out. I don't know. That's why I'm going to sit back as a wrestling fan. I'm going to watch Dynamite on Wednesday. I will digest it, see what goes down, and we'll talk about it Wednesday night. So, all right, everybody. I'm glad we were able to finish without me just coughing up a lung. That was a little strange before. I don't normally get that. If I strain my voice, I start sounding like a white Barry White. If anybody remembers those days, I used to strain my voice a lot back in the day. But no, I didn't forget the watch. Oh, I did forget the watch party contest. Holy shit. Thank you, AS7607. All right, let's do it. To quote Tony Loke, let's do it. All right, so let's give away first the CM Punk autograph photo. This is from the Rampage watch party. Everybody is on the list. Let's spin the wheel. Whoever it lands on gets the CM Punk photo. If it's a repeat winner, I don't want to hear anybody bitching or complaining. Let's see who gets it. SoFly. I don't think SoFly's ever won. Wow, SoFly. Congrats to you, my friend. All right, so SoFly, we got to take him off the list because he's got his prize over here. Let's take SoFly off this list. Hold on. I got to go down the list. I think I accidentally deleted him altogether, but that's all right. We'll see SoFly's name disappear in 2 seconds when I hit save. Watch this. Boop, you're gone. There you go. All right, so now let's see who gets both of these Liv Morgan photos, because it's two very important moments in Liv Morgan's career. The MGM Grand. She won the briefcase and then later on cashed in and won the championship. Somebody's going to win both of those photos commemorating that night. So who gets the photos? Let's spin the wheel one more time. Who's getting it? AS7607, thank you for reminding me again. Just realized that. Coughing up a lung will do that to you. Mikey Ravello. I don't think Mikey's ever won either. Mikey Ravello, very, very cool. So, Mikey, you get the Liv Morgan photos. Now, remember, they sent me a half a dozen of them. So we'll probably do another Liv Morgan giveaway Friday because she is very, very popular amongst our audience. Very, very popular. And like I said, those photos, you're not going to find them on eBay. You're not even going to find them on WWE Shop. You know, it's very, very cool and very kind of them that, you know, WWE puts in front of them, here, sign 100 of these, and then they disperse them however they do, and I'm lucky to get my hands on a few of them. So, All right, now we can officially go. And the furball is gone. I feel a hell of a lot better. And we got this done in less than 75 minutes. Pretty damn cool. Yeah, I think we covered everything. So enough of me ranting. If you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that thumbs up. My apologies for coughing earlier. Join me Wednesday night at 10:05 p.m. for Wednesday Night Dynamite. And yeah, that's it. If you're part of our Patreon family, I will be live tomorrow. I think, is tomorrow off the cuff? I'm not sure. I got to go look it up. But tomorrow I'll be live on Patreon after NXT. For everyone else, you're more than welcome to join us for the NXT watch party. So we will be watching NXT live tomorrow. You come by, you hang out, you get to watch NXT for free. Chat with me, chat with everybody else. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. So, yeah. Oh, Darren Gordon Hill. I haven't seen him in a while. So I know some names, unfortunately, are no longer here. We don't need to say who they are, but for obvious reasons, you know what I'm talking about. But shout out to everyone who is back. Much love. Have a great night, and I'm out of here. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.